Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Butchman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 12th of the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. We are live 6 days a week. On the Sabbath, we rest 2 hours a day, hard-hitting talk. We start with a recap of yesterday's show. First on, we had our guest, Mr. Chris Carlson, doing a phenomenal job. Without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. All things liberty discussed. Red-handed, incredible book, ladies and gentlemen. Red-handed, how American elites get rich. Peter Schweizer's book. Tops New York Times bestseller list, believe it or not. Hard-hitting, investigative, expose between the CCP, that's the Communist Chinese Party. Yeah. And what? American elites. Yeah. A best-selling book, nonfiction, just great, great reporting, ladies and gentlemen. Think about the American elite and the CCP. And we go on to highlight through the hour really what's going on, how red-handed the book documents it, how we see in the news it's documented everywhere. Look, the hazard of a Chinese businessman with close ties to the top ranks of Beijing's spy agency, conducting financial transactions with the son of a U.S. vice president, ladies and gentlemen. That cannot be overstated, that relationship, and how dangerous that is. How did this not set off national security or ethics alarm bells in Washington, D.C. is a mystery in and of itself, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, the Biden connection really tells the story, ladies and gentlemen. As far as we can tell, ladies and gentlemen, resident Biden's son, and the point isn't that we forgot he's president, or we're saying resident because he never legitimately became president, right? So resident Biden, that's Joe, his son, Hunter Biden, he didn't hold any official office in federal government or anything like that. So how is it then that he's able to arrange a meeting between the vice president and 30 Chinese communist top-level officials? How does that happen? Answer, treason. That's how. You could say, whoa, Sam, hold on now. That's a strong word there, treason, buddy. You're darn right it is. But when you're the son of a vice president, eventually the man that becomes president, and you literally get ties to top communist Chinese leaders, you don't do that on your own. You don't do that just because, like, hey, I'm a good businessman. It's all about business. You know, Hunter doesn't have a track record of being a great businessman. Where did he get on the international stage in the first place? Where would he get the clout for these people to even give him the time of day to meet him? Right? Think about it. Hunter Biden somehow has the wherewithal to connect with all these, quote, international global communist leaders. But yet I can't even get a hold of Hunter Biden if I tried, right? Ladies and gentlemen, Hunter Biden tried to strike an exceedingly lucrative forever business deal with a state-owned Chinese energy company. Yeah, they, by the way, that's been sanctioned by the United States over its ties to the Chinese military. That's according to the latest emails unearthed from Hunter's laptop. Okay, how on earth would this all happen, right? The oil deal also involved Devin Archer, Biden's longtime business partner. Where would we get Devin Archer to be friends with Biden's son, Hunter? Look, Hunter is a well-known drug abuser, a well-known womanizer. How does he just get so much money and so many international ties? He's treated like a rock star businessman on the global stage. How does that happen? Nancy Pelosi, not one whit behind Joe and Hunter's scandals. Nancy Pelosi, gatekeeper of Chinese oppression. Yeah, so now you got ties in the executive branch and ties in the congressional branch for the communist infiltration of the United States, right? We talked about this Eileen Gu, born and raised in California, skiing for China. On Balance did the report. Yeah, she's an American Olympian that won gold in the freestyle skiing competition in the Beijing Olympics. Here's the problem. She grew up in America. She's an American citizen, but she's not representing the United States, ladies and gentlemen. Her mother's Chinese, but she is an American. An American citizen, born and raised in California. But somehow she decided to represent the communist nation of China in the Olympics after being offered over $1 million to get that done. How does Eileen get such a connection? How does Hunter get such a connection? Yeah, how does Bill Gates get such a connection? Okay, I guess Bill Gates, you could say maybe that guy, you know, he's a software global leader. You know, maybe he met some Chinese officials. But Microsoft on China, Bill Gates has quite the fondness for China. He said of this Chinese leader, how do you say it? Xi Jinping, is that how you say the guy's name? He says, we discussed the area of science where China is leading in a lot of ways and willing to invest. That's something I discussed with President Xi. And I am impressed of how hard President Xi works and how he's involved in the committee. In the committees, they're looking at this problem and that problem, and he's quite amazing. He's able to contribute in a number of ways. That's Microsoft, Bill Gates on the communist nation of China. How do we get this deal? Now, the Ping Shui incident, or Shui incident, whatever, it's a sexual harassment incident. These leaders are all Hunter Biden. Yeah, had a baby, lied about it with a hooker, whatever the deal, right? Whoa, hold on. Man, don't you find sex and power and fame and all rolled into one most of the time? Communism, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is a gateway drug to globalism. We need to understand that it's the globalists like the Rothschilds and other banking families, the Rockefellers, the Schiffs, the Warburgs, right? It's those people that are really in control. That's who control all nations, the bankers. Not really communism. The communist leaders think that they're so important, but they're really not. They just think that. They'll be betrayed sometime in the end, that's for sure. Chris Carlson with me on Friday morning's first hour relayed a personal encounter with a Chinese foreign exchange student. He basically talked about, hey, tell me about your country, Chris asks. The foreign exchange student says, hey, I can't talk about my country. I'm being monitored. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been infiltrated by the communists from top to bottom, or bottom to top, if that's a better way to say it. Let's be very clear. It is a tragic situation. That's for sure. And that was yesterday's first hour with Chris Carlson, a killer hour. By the way, Chris deserves the credit for a lot of the topics we discussed during his hour. He researches, he studies. It's what every American ought to do. Just great, great commentary, great content. Anyways, Peter Schweizer's book, Red Handed, incredible source for discovery, to say the least. All right, second hour, we head on Dr. Scott Bradley. His lifelong goal and collegiate series to preserve the nation. His website, freedomsrisingsun.com. And we talked about the U.S. trucker convoy to Washington gathers steam. And the Department of Homeland Security is warning law enforcement partners, is what they call it. Wow, I didn't know the Department of Homeland Security had law enforcement partners, but there they go. Anyway, they're warning law enforcement partners of planned demonstrations among truck drivers to protest vaccine mandates could disrupt both the Super Bowl coming up this weekend and President Biden's first State of the Union address on March 1st. That's according to The Hill and other newspapers. Now, my problem with that all is this. Why is the government ratcheting up the concern when later on the story, in that same article, they say there's no credible threat yet? But they're warning about it. Are they itching for a fight? Are they ramping up the infiltration, the agent government provocateurs to make sure that it disrupts and causes problems? So far, it's been peaceful. In fact, there's people reporting on the ground in Canada saying, those who tell you in the mainstream press that it's violent, that it's crazy, they lie. We wondered about it. We went down and saw the truckers, talked to many of them. And it was incredibly peaceful. What do you say? Who do you believe, right? I believe the truckers are good, genuine, honest people who mean well. I believe government provocateurs, though, like they do in almost every modern case, you have a peaceful assembly, and they turn it violent into a riot. Provocateurs at the helm. Why? They don't want us to peacefully assemble. They don't want us to push for a redress of grievance. They've shut us down in the courts. Now they're trying to shut us down in the public square as well. They've shut us down in the elections too, right? Election fraud everywhere. Anyway, it was a great, great time with Scott Bradley. I'll tell you more in seconds. I am Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
For decades, leftists, liberal socialists, and feminists have been screaming and crying, my body, my choice, in order to justify the premeditated murder of innocent children in the womb. However, this is a fallacious argument since science has proven and demonstrated that the baby has a separate set of DNA from the mother. If it's not your DNA, it's not your body. That is science, and you should trust the science. Remarkably, the same people who have been claiming my body, my choice for decades now want to force you to inject foreign substances into your body against your will. Obviously, they never cared about my body, my choice. They just wanted to control you and have permission to kill babies. I am Ammon Bundy, and when you elect me governor of Idaho, I will sign an executive order on day one of my governorship prohibiting abortion in the state of Idaho. Because premeditated murder of the innocent should never be legal anywhere in the world, especially Idaho.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm in the middle of the recap of yesterday's broadcast still. Wow, we covered a lot of information. We're talking about the second hour that we had Dr. Scott Bradley with us. We're talking about the truckers scandal going on. Why do I say scandal? Because I believe the truckers are genuine, good, honest, moral people. And they're, to some degree, winning. I'm not downing them, and I'm not willing to back them. I think they're great, great, great people doing a great thing. But you know what? Government, I believe, is so criminal. They don't want peaceful assemblies. They don't want people to push for a redress of grievance in any way. They don't want free speech and free association at all. And so they're literally going to infiltrate these things and cause problems for the peaceful truckers movement, ladies and gentlemen. The government is right now changing it from a soft war to a hard war on the people, sad to say. The proof in the pudding is, hey, GoFundMe was used by the truckers to raise $8 million. They freaked when they realized how much money we the people could raise in an instant for a worthy cause. And then what happened is GoFundMe decided, well, we're going to steal the money and then donate it to charity to be omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, whatever, all these terms that would denote thuggery under the guise of charitable contribute. But they lie. It would be stolen money. So they finally realized how dishonest it was, and they decided to refund the money. They still circumvented the money going where the people intended it to go. Shame on GoFundMe. They ought to be sued and closed down over their abuses. Because whose money is it? It's we the people's. Where did we want it to go? To the truckers. And you put together a GoFundMe organization to make that happen, and now you betray your very purpose. Well, anyway, Give, Send, Go is another organization. And so the people turned to Give, Send, Go, and hey, now the court freezes $8 million to Give, Send, Go. Okay, and then Ottawa cops stole gas from the truckers, lied to the press, and arrested people that were peaceful. This is out of control, ladies and gentlemen. Now judge orders Ottawa police to return all fuel. And it says that they seized, but I would say that they stole. Okay, they're stealing money, they're stealing gas, resources. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about secret spending and dark money. The deep state decries dark money, but uses it over and over against we the people. Right? That's what's going on. It's a shame and a half. And so we talked about this with Dr. Bradley. Now, I believe the truckers are good, honest, sincere people doing the best they can. And they really are just simply saying, look, we want to be able to cross the northern border of the United States, southern border of Canada, and we don't want to be forced to take a vaccine to be able to do that. Shame on both countries for mandating this. And the truckers are just simply saying, we're not going to take it. We're going to protest. Well, now the governments don't like the protest. They're calling them insurrections or terrorists or threats or, well, there's not really a credible threat, but there could be, and all this dishonest manipulation because the government doesn't know what to do with the quandary they're in. What the government needs to do is quit dishonestly, immorally, unconstitutionally, using your positions against the people. Okay, you don't have authority to do that. And you need to know that, ladies and gentlemen. You need to understand, government bureaucrats, that you can't just be dictators. That's not the way it's supposed to work in America. Or Canada, for that matter, right? But all I can say is I don't understand where we're going to end up with this. I believe the governments will not back down. I believe the folks who want tyranny and terrorism and all this, who want to destroy the greatest country on the face of the earth, I don't believe they're going to back down. They might back off temporarily to look like the good guys or to not, you know, have people really connect all the dots of who's who in this soft war they've created. Okay, but the reality is they won't back down. They'll back off for a time, but they'll come. They won't ever give up. You got to understand that. Okay, tyranny never goes away. It's forced back by moral, good, honest citizens, obeying the commandments of God Almighty, spending time with the traditional God-ordained family, and insisting that the country mirrors that morality in the people and in the fundamental unit of society, the family, okay? That's the only way tyranny is stopped or reduced or backed off. But the second the people come in moral, the second the people turn away from eternal vigilance, the second somebody is allowed to get too much power, they will exploit it. You give them an inch, they'll take a mile idea, right? We got to know that. We got to realize that. We got to understand that. We got to be more than aware of that is the point, ladies and gentlemen. We got to absolutely be aware of that. All right, Americans are sick of it, though, ladies and gentlemen, and they're really taking action to the best of their own ability to do something about it. Did you know that? They really are. And you would say, well, Americans are at fault for a lot of these things. And see, I don't see it that way. I agree that Americans should be more eternally vigilant. I believe Americans should be more engaged. I get all that and agree with all that. But I don't totally just hold the American people responsible for a lot of what's going on. Why do you say that, Sam, you say? Well, because, I'll give you an example. Americans are taking great action within their own sphere. Think how many people have pushed back and fought against vote fraud. A lot of us. Think about how many people have really, really, really said, I'm not taking the vaccines, or I'm not wearing the mask, or I'm, you know, a lot of us have done that. People are willing to take serious action for freedom, to protect their way of life. But you know what? They're being shut down at the courts. They're being shut down at the election box or the ballot box. They're being shut down in the public square. Okay, Americans are also taking even greater action. Listen to this. Americans moved to Texas, Florida, and Alabama as more work from home since COVID. All right, so since Americans are working from home now, thanks to COVID, this is one kind of silver lining of the cocoa, if you will. But here's the deal. Americans want to have a better life. Americans want to be out of debt, although the current fiat money system makes it very hard to be out of debt. People want to pay less taxes. People want a narrow, smaller, limited, restrained government. Okay, many Americans are moving south to Florida, Tennessee, Texas, as more are able to work from home. And a lot of them are trying to live closer to family, reports find. So see, people even realize how important family is, okay? Texas, Florida, Alabama, since COVID, Tennessee, right? They say some do it for the cost of living decreases. Others do it for comfort, to be closer to loved ones. That's incredible. Some say even for that new job. But whatever the reason, Americans are still on the move in 2021. They say that's the first full year that we have, you know, in its totality during the COVID, if you will. Several reports show that we're moving in droves. Pew Research says 26.5 million people moved from one home in the United States to another between March 2020 and March 2021. That's huge, folks, isn't it? I mean, that number is just staggering. About 800,000 fewer moved in the same time between 2019 and 2020. Based on the most current data available from the Census Bureau's current population survey. Many of them migrated to the South. That's according to studies conducted by, what do they call this? National Moving Council Housing Experts. Wow, I didn't know we had that group. Here's where folks are moving and why, they say. Americans moved to Florida, South Carolina, Arizona. Most Americans, believe it or not, headed south, with South Carolina, West Virginia, Florida, Alabama, and Tennessee among the most popular destinations. According to a recent study by United Van Lines, North American Van Lines, they all reported similar findings to back up the other study. So you've got multiple studies validating this reality. Now, it's interesting because everybody's for the most part going south. They say, however, Vermont followed by South Dakota were the most popular states to move to overall, according to United Van Lines. I find this interesting. So there's a lot of states being considered, right? New jobs are helping people to relocate as well. A lot of people are switching jobs, right? We'll talk about it more in detail on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is set to speak with Russian President Vladimir Putin on Saturday. this as a Russia invasion of Ukraine could be imminent.
We encourage all American citizens who remain in Ukraine to depart immediately. We want to be crystal clear on this point. Any American in Ukraine should leave as soon as possible, and in any event, in the next 24 to 48 hours.
White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan also calling it an urgent situation. The White House says President Biden is on the side of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, and they've been talking about the ongoing blockade of key bridges and crossings between the United States and Canada. The White House adding that Trudeau promised quick action to enforce laws and restore the open passage of crossing between the two countries. USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn-Root. It's official. Inflation is at its highest level since the 1980s, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. What most people don't know is that it's actually much worse. Inflation may be higher now than the 1980s, since the new measurements exclude food and energy. Gas prices up 58%, energy up 33%. What can you do about it? Protect yourself and your family. Only gold, silver, and other hard assets give you true protection. My friends at Tangible Investments guarantee the absolute lowest prices on precious metals. Check them out at TII1.com or call 800-300-8441. Tangible Investments has 40 years of experience and billions, that's with a B, billions in transactions. Call 800-300-8441 if you want help with gold, silver, platinum. They guarantee you the best prices plus excellent service. Call Tangible Investments now, 800-300-8441, or visit TII1.com. They also provide free verbal appraisals.
The black nationalist accused of running over and killing six people during a Christmas parade in Wisconsin is pleading not guilty. Darryl Brooks Jr. entering his plea to all 77 charges he's facing in connection with the November attack in Waukesha. Included in those 77 charges are six homicide counts, over 60 counts of reckless endangerment, and other charges. Brooks would spend the rest of his life in prison if convicted of one homicide charge. He'll be in court again on March 11th. NASA is showing off two photos from the new James Webb Space Telescope that launched last Christmas. The photos are indicators that the telescope is operational and set to begin its mission. The initial exercise included the telescope taking more than 1,500 photos, which provided reportedly stunning photos. Webb is meant to see deeper into space and in better detail than any previous telescope. USA Radio News.
All right, back live on your radio. Sam Bushman, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. 6 days a week, we tell the tale of freedom. On the seventh, we rest as the good Lord commands us to do. Americans moved to Texas, Florida, Alabama, Tennessee as, I guess, remote work. More work from home, whatever you want to call it's going on. Annual National Movers study showing, hey, people are just moving everywhere, man. New jobs means that people are willing to relocate. 32% of those who moved wanted to be closer to family, they say. That makes sense to me, does it to you? See, as I mentioned, Americans are really trying to do what's right, trying to rein in their out-of-control government, trying to hold accountability. They say priorities and lifestyle choices are shifting because of the pandemic. Right? Meanwhile, the number of Americans who moved for jobs or for a new job or whatever, job transfer, whatever, marks a significant decrease from 2015, when more than 60% cited a job or a job transfer as their main reason to relocate. That's interesting. Now that people have job choice, they're simply bailing for jobs that where they can work from home, jobs where they can move where they want, jobs that have flexibility in their day-to-day work-life balance and everything else, right? They say remote work paves the way for a move in American or North American van lines. Reports are estimating that 20% more Americans moved in 2021 compared to 2020 because of new remote work opportunities. Think about that. They say that an estimated a ton of Americans to relocate. Now, listen to this, because I find this fascinating in the study as well. In addition to wanting to leave, quote, high-density areas to avoid contracting COVID-19. See, everybody wants to, like, move to the rural and social distance for real, don't they? But they say many Americans are moving due to the transformation of how we're able to work, with more flexibility to work remote, said Michael Stoll. He's a public policy professor and economist at UCLA. And he's really talking about a recent study also by what's called Sequoia Surveys of 423 leaders of mainly California-based tech companies. Now listen to this. Found that more than half now will allow their employees to permanently relocate to a new state. This was not doable or possible until COVID hit. And those businesses didn't plan to adjust salaries to reflect differences in the cost of living or the labor market. That's really telling, because these executives could say, well, you're going to move to a less expensive state. We're going to pay you less money. They're not doing that to the employees, and good for them. Because what people want to do is they want to move to a rural area, to a less expensive place, because they're trying to get ahead. And the current system, you could live in San Francisco or the Bay Area or, you know, Silicon Valley or whatever you want to say, Cupertino, where Apple is and all this stuff, right? You could move there, but you could make $300,000 a year, and it isn't much money because it's so dang expensive to live there. They say since many, especially tech companies, will allow their employees to work remotely even after the end of the pandemic, we're starting to see Americans moving away from San Francisco and other, quote, high-volume, expensive areas, folks. They're leaving, right? Since they can keep their jobs and in most cases keep their salaries, they move to a more affordable area. For instance, let me give you this example. In the San Francisco Bay Area, as I just mentioned, right, there are about 500 homes currently for sale. And they say, hey, nobody can buy them. People just cannot afford them, right? That's interesting to me. So if you take the comparison, one out of every 300 households can buy a house in San Francisco. One out of every 300 plus. Every 134 households is the equivalent in Austin, Texas, to compare. Thus, people in the Austin metro area are much more likely to become homeowners. That's right. That makes sense, right? They say with teleworking or remote working expected to continue, even after the end of the pandemic, we anticipate that more people will be doing the same. What is that? Moving to less expensive areas. Some move, but stay in state. Showing more Americans are migrating to the South. That's also consistent with data provided by the NAR. I don't know what that is. They say the data shows that most of the areas that experienced the migration increase or influx of people, the gains in 2021, were located in the Sun Belt region, Florida, Arizona, Texas, South Carolina, and North Carolina. Many simply packed up the moving van to relocate to another community in the same state. Yeah, they say inbound to Florida is increasing as well. But it's just amazing. They say the influx compared to the outflux to Florida is a 30% differential, or 34% on the average differential. That's a lot, folks. In Texas, inbound moves topped outbound moves by 31%. And inbound moves beat outbound moves on average of 23%. Arizona, 28%. 25% North Carolina. Wow. The Sun Belt states are more affordable and generally have lower tax burdens. That's significant. And strong job growth. Yeah. The other reason this is interesting here is you drill all the way down into the story. They say this. Vaccines also lead to moves. People moved out of fear of the pandemic. They didn't want to be isolated in big cities. People didn't want to be forced to be vaccinated. Yeah, they moved out of fear of being isolated, quarantined. They didn't want to be far from family. See, when things get tough, people gravitate towards family. They gravitate towards friends. Americans also sought out new communities, they say, because of retirement. Some retired early. A desire for a different lifestyle, not to mention cost of living, which we've talked about. However, sadly, there are still a lot of Americans who cannot afford to move. They want to, but they can't afford it, right? Because of the rising costs. Yeah. Costs of mortgages, rents, inflation, and the cost of the ongoing pandemic. Yeah, there's a researcher at Harvard University that is even speaking out about this. See, the more you look into this study, you realize you've got a bunch of universities, a bunch of experts, a bunch of studies that back this all up. All right. There's an assumption that most Americans have figured it all out, but it's totally not the case. Yeah. We see a lot of the data. We see a lot of people moving. A lot of people are making progress, but there's a lot of what we don't see in terms of the challenges faced by households. There's a lot that still remains to be seen. Anyway, pretty interesting. In my opinion, a very, very interesting study that really documents what's going on. People are a-changing, baby. People are moving. People are trying to get their lives in order. That's the good thing coming out of the pandemic and out-of-control, overreaching, high-taxing government. I am Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off, with America surrendering to terrorists. Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips always. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot going on in the world right now. From the truckers, from the scandals. It's just amazing what's going on. All right, there's another article that I want to highlight before the end of the hour here. We talked about Americans are moving to the South, moving to less expensive places, really for family. And I highlighted this reality that Americans are pushing back. The government's pushing narratives that people are just going, I don't buy it, I don't believe it, I'm not in. COVID, great example. People are going, I'm sick of the masks, they don't work. You tell me to wear a cloth mask, then later, 2 years later, you tell me, it doesn't really work. Cloth masks don't do the trick. Wait a minute, hold on. You told me 10 days, 14 days to slow the spread and to, flatten the curve. And whoa, 2 years later, you're still running around acting like I'm the enemy. People are getting sick of it. And they're moving and they're doing everything they can to improve their lives. Everything they can to rein in belligerent, out of control, extreme, hostile, rogue agents in government. Everything they can do to bring their families and loved ones closer to them. They're moving. They're changing. Well, the next big lie by government is peddled by the mainstream press as always, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the headline from USA Today. People haven't just made the planet hotter. We've actually changed the way it rains, they say. Did you know you did that, Cameron? You not only made the planet hotter, buddy, but you changed the way it rains. Got that? All right. A USA Today analysis of a century of precipitation data shows how east of the Rockies, more rain is falling in, quote, more intense bursts. You probably noticed a lot of weird weather in 2021, from record-breaking deluges or deluges to tropical storms and everything in between, right? They also mentioned the drought-stricken landscapes due to wildfires, right? The nation seemed to lurch from one weather-related disaster to the next. You're forgiven if you dismiss these elements as unrelated, USA Today says, albeit an unfortunate phenomenon, right? No, they actually share a common bond. Yeah. It's all part of a new, quote, climate reality, where supersized rainfalls and lengthening droughts have become the norm. Blame global warming. Blame rising temperatures. They don't just make the earth hotter. They've also knocked long-standing precipitation patterns off balance by altering how much water cycles between the earth and the sky. Yes, there have always been erratic weather patterns, but now the heaviest downpours and droughts are much more extreme. They say USA Today revealed in its recent year-long project called Downpour. Check out how a summer of extreme weather reveals a stunning shift in the way rain falls. That trend started almost imperceptibly in the late 20th century, as accumulation of earth-warming greenhouse gases reached critical levels in the atmosphere Now, decades later, those changes are really impossible to ignore. Wow. East of the Rockies, more rain is falling. And it's coming in more intense bursts, ladies and gentlemen. In the West, people are waiting longer to see any rain at all. They're all interconnected, they want you to understand. Why the impact that climate change is having on these persistent weather extremes. Said a guy by the name of Michael Mann, a climatologist at Penn State University. He's also an author of a book called The New Climate War. Ooh, think about that. The New Climate War. They say it's not a contradiction to have huge floods, unprecedented floods, and unprecedented heat waves. That's not a contradiction. And droughts at the same time. See how rainfall has changed in your community. The majority of Americans have experienced firsthand the impacts of these, quote, shifting precipitation patterns. Have you noticed that firsthand, folks? Take this past summer alone. In just over 1 week in June, a deluge dropped 7 inches of rain in Detroit, swamping highways, stranding motorists. Yeah. It broke 136 daily rainfall records, in fact. Yeah, they had a storm set during 5 states along the Mississippi River that were out of control, they say. Tropical storm. What do they call these? Cloudettes? Is that what they're called? Huh, I haven't seen that before. They say soaked a swath of the South, flooding homes in Louisiana and Alabama, where it dropped up to 8 inches of rain and claimed 14 lives. Meanwhile, the drought-stricken West grappled with soaring temperatures that shattered century-old records, prompting heat warnings, and ultimately killed over a couple of hundred people. Wow. A dozen states, including Iowa, Ohio, and Rhode Island, well, that's a weird swath, saw 5 of their 10 wettest years in history over the past 2 decades. Michigan experienced 6 since 2008 of these kind of extreme events alone. At the opposite extreme, including, or 8 states, including 5 in the West, had at least 3 record-breaking years of drought. That's double what's expected based on historical patterns. See how long this article is where they're talking about, hey, people haven't just made the planet hotter. They're making whole patterns of rain and drought and the whole system. It's changing. We've changed the way it rains. You want to see what's happening near you? They say they got a searchable database where you can do that. You want to learn more about the science behind the changing rainfalls, ladies and gentlemen, and the trends? You can do that. They've got it all for you. They say greenhouse gases and methane are the blame. These gases trap heat and cause the earth to warm. Right? This warming raises temperatures, of course. But it also hastens evaporation and pulls more moisture into the air. You know what that means, don't you? That means more water can fall in the form of rain and snow. At the same time, some scientists are now saying rising temperatures have altered the summertime movement of the jet stream that transports moisture across the country. Weather systems that used to hustle along, now get stalled more often, dumping more rain in one place. Yeah. The combination of the weather atmosphere and a slower jet stream has been blamed for fueling the intensity of many of the storms that have flooded dozens of communities across the country and have killed more than 100 people in 2021 alone. The uptick in intense rainfall threatens hundreds of U.S. sewer systems as states rack up records for rainfall, flooding, droughts, and wildfire. It's becoming clear, they say, our country was built for the climate of the past. Roads, bridges, sewer systems, and entire communities that decades ago seemed safe from any of these problems, fire and floods, etc. Well, they're not anymore. They're now in danger zones. Take any one of these communities. Take any one of the nearly 730 U.S. communities with a so-called combined sewage overflow system. These antiquated networks of underground pipes cannot handle it, folks. They combine rainwater, snowmelt, and toilet waste into the same system. In normal conditions, water gets treated before it gets discharged. But with the heavy rains, the systems just simply cannot handle the extra water at all. And by design, they discharge everything, even untreated waste, into rivers, lakes, and even back into people's homes, they say. Wow, it's crazy. Yeah. Now listen to this. They altogether spilled 850 billion gallons of raw sewage into the open water system in 2004 alone. Oh my goodness. That was the last time the government estimated it. But now the warming planet is producing heavier and more frequent storms in the same regions of the country where these systems in the Midwest, Mid-Atlantic, and Northeast states, these communities who even have upgraded their sewers to try to deal with it, just cannot handle these deluges. Detroit, for example, has already spent $1.4 billion to fix its combined sewer system, but the city's discharged nearly 5 billion gallons. It's just insane, man, of raw sewer or raw sewage into their water. It is crazy town going on. Now, I've really highlighted this story to ad nauseum, if you will, to some degree. But I wanted to highlight to you how they go on and on and on and on about this stuff. And you're all to blame, ladies and gentlemen. You're at fault. And they want you to believe that we got to put our trust in the arm of flesh to solve it. That's a lie. You can't run around in fear and you can't think we can do it on our own. You got to turn to God Almighty, ladies and gentlemen. These crazy weather realities are because the people are sinning and God is trying to stir us up in remembrance of Him. The sooner we turn to Him, the sooner we'll find answers to the problems. I can promise you that. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. I am Sam Bushman. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live, available at libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States of America.